Well, folks, it's wonderful to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back once again. So much has happened this week. If you guys didn't know, we have in below the description in this video, andweknow.com/gold. You can go to that anytime, reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott. So pleased to have you. So many things that we've been talking about this past few weeks have been coming to fruition, and you're excited to share.
I am. You know, it's one of those weird things, LT, where you know, you and I talk and it's like, we hate it that we're right, but I'm glad that we're right. Kind of a feeling. Yep. Cause I never want to be the bearer of bad news, but when we're speaking about certain things, we're actually just reiterating what the policymakers are saying, where it's like, they're not making it public, but we're finding the information and we're relaying it to everybody. So you can then make a wise, logical, you know, spirit-led decision with your finances and your life and everything else, right? So
right.
A couple of those things that we've talked about over the last 3 weeks, actually earlier this week, came to fruition. It's like, oh, man, it's like one of those things where it's like, I love it that we got it and we were right because we're helping a lot of people, but nuts. I wish we weren't right because this is bad for the economy and the world, right? But, you know, so one of those things, a few weeks ago, all the viewers here will remember we were talking about cardboard box sales,
right? Oh, yeah.
And how it's this weird unofficial leading indicator that I look at, and cardboard box sales are down 80%. And if they wouldn't be down, you know, and they were actually up, well, it's like, man, the retailers, the e-commerce giants of the world are expecting a big holiday season and they're loading up on cardboard boxes to ship everything out in. Wasn't happening that way. They're down 80%. Well, earlier this week on Thursday, just a few days ago, Walmart came out and said, what? Walmart said, consumer spending is way down. This is probably going to be a pretty bleak Christmas season because there's not much spending happening. It's like, duh, this is what we talked about weeks ago, that this was going to happen. Now it's making the mainstream news. Right. Yep. So, but there's other things that were kind of foretelling this to be, that's not prophetic by any stretch, but that what we were saying was going to happen. And that's the bank failure that we saw in Iowa. Mm. So it made big news 2 weeks ago. It's like regional bank, another regional bank failed, the fifth one in America. It's like, okay, it wasn't really a regional bank. It was a small bank. It was only had like $66 million in deposits, but $8 million of defaulted loans. That's what caused them to go into FDIC receivership. Well, what's the big deal about such a small bank going under? To me, it's the story behind the story that nobody's talking about. So that little bank in Iowa is a major lender to the trucking industry. So truckers were defaulting on their loan payments. Why are truckers defaulting? What do truckers do? They ship things. When are things shipped? When people are ordering things, right? So there's no orders. There's no purchasing. Again, lines up with what Walmart's saying, with what everyone else is saying in the economic world. This is going to be a yucky holiday season. We don't need cardboard boxes. We're not shipping anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, the truckers are defaulting on their loans.
Oh.
See, these are the basically physical manifestations of Biden's horrible economic plan for America. I mean, it's ugly.
That's right.
I mean, his plan isn't good. Now, we also talked about Citibank and Project Bora Bora. Remember that? That was maybe 2 weeks ago. We talked about that. And Project Bora Bora was the internal document name for Citibank's plan to start unloading 10% of their workforce. See, at minimum, they're going to lay off 10% of their workforce. Well, this is not a small bank like that little bank in Iowa or smaller, or a small regional bank or a large regional bank. This is Citibank, right? Like the third largest bank in North America bank. So they have 240,000 employees. Project Bora Bora said they're going to lay off 10% of them at minimum, which would be 24,000 people. What started happening on Thursday? On Thursday, the CEO of Citibank made it public. It's like, we're starting our layoffs today. So,
oh my goodness.
So they already started. So we then have to start asking this question of why are banks laying off people? What if Biden's economy were so robust, why are they laying off people? And you'll hear a mainstream media type talking heads on financial news spout off such erroneous economic intel that it's just laughable because they don't understand economics. And they say, oh, with higher interest rates, the banks should have a very profitable quarter. It's like, what? That would be true if people had disposable and discretionary income, right? Where if interest rates go up, and people made their higher payments and they still had a bunch of money left in their wallet at the end of the month, it wouldn't matter. Doesn't matter if taxes go up, doesn't matter if interest rates go up, doesn't matter if inflation goes up. If you still have a bunch of money left over at the end of the month, you're going to continue to spend. This isn't the case, right? This isn't the case at all. So just 2 weeks ago, Janet Yellen was bragging. She was bragging about how resilient the US consumer is and how we keep spending money in the light of a bad economy and we're keeping the economy afloat. Good job, America, right? Yeah. Well, what a stupid thing to cheer about, because people aren't spending money out of their checking accounts. Like if you were to spend money LT out of your checking account, if I would, that would be real spending. That would be, it's like, hey, money I've already paid taxes on. It's in my checking account. I'm just spending it. I'm not going into debt. This is true economic growth. But what they were bragging about, which they should have never been bragging about, is people were spending money on their credit cards, right? And credit cards is not real spending. It's already borrowed. It's other people's money, and you have to pay it back with interest. That gets people into huge problems. So now credit cards are maxed out at over $1 trillion in outstanding credit card debt nationwide, highest it's ever been in the history of our country. Well, it's like, good grief. Now what? Now, when credit card lines of credit are being decreased, when people are at their max, well, this is a problem. Yep. Right? The problem is there's no more money to spend. So what Janet Yellen, Jerome Powell, Biden were yelling about and cheering about, saying America is great and resilient and they're spending money, it was all a shell game. It's like this house of cards.
Yeah,
it's not real. But what's real is that Citibank realizes, oof, this is going to be a bad holiday season. This is bad when interest rates get this high. We see how much people are paying on their credit cards. And we're going to lay off 24,000 employees.
Oh, my goodness.
We see Walmart saying that it's going to be a bad retail season. And what are they going to do? They're probably going to lay off. We see Target CEO, which I'm not shedding a tear about this one because I think Target's so woke, it's insane. But they're not actually going to, they're going to have basically bare bones skeleton type inventories on the shelves during the holiday season because they made the mistake in the past of getting too much inventory, expecting to sell it, and it just sat there and they'd have to sell it for a huge discount later just to unload it. They're not going to have much on the shelves this holiday season, already preparing people for it. So this is why cardboard box sales are down and orders for cardboard boxes are down, because there's not a retailer on the planet, I don't think, that's expecting a robust holiday season.
Right.
None of them. Walmart's not. Target's not. Best Buy's not. Amazon's not. Amazon's probably the biggest buyer of cardboard boxes on the planet. And it's down 80%. It's not even down a little bit, LT. It's down a lot of it. So this is what we have to look forward moving forward. But here's where there is a very happy face to this storm cloud, right? So over the last 3 days, with all of this bad economic news coming up, retail sales, oh, they're not there. Consumer spending is down. We've got this massive inflation. Oh, by the way, Moody's downgraded the US dollar. They joined Fitch. And so the rest of the world now looks at the dollar as not the safe haven, safe harbor investment that it used to be.
Right.
Well, so, and banks are laying off people. Well, what's silver doing? Silver's up over $1 in the last 3 days, $1. Because it thrives on that kind of news. This is why we talk about it every week. So the horrible economic news that we're seeing, it can be tempered with actually gold and silver, tangible assets that go up during times like this. And there's no way around it. Silver's right. up over a dollar in the last 3 days. And it's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So when it goes up, I mean, do you see a change in the amount of things that happened around your area of expertise? I mean, what are some of the things that you do or recommend that folks do to get on board with this?
So we see, yes. I mean, and it's not just a one day thing. It's like, we're seeing massive influx of phone calls, you know, because people are seeing it. Silver and gold act as a flight for safety
right.
in a time when the foundations around us are eroding. And number two, they see that it's actually a really good investment. when we're up over a dollar in the last 3 days, so silver's gone from 20 upper 22s to 24 just this week alone, right? That's almost a 5% increase in 1 week. I mean, it's really good. So when people call in wanting to protect, get into a private asset, so they're not a digital asset or a digital slave in somebody's digital world. They're not in paper, which is easily manipulated, like the stock and bond market. They want tangible assets. So people give us a call. And then one of my advisors, and I've got 20 of them. I mean, we've got a lot of advisors, will actually help you map out a strategy for success moving forward. Whether you have money in the bank that you want to allocate into silver and you take delivery of at home or store it at a depository, or if you have an IRA. See, IRAs are interesting because most people don't have just money laying around, right. but they sure have a lot in their retirement accounts that they thought was untouchable. No, if you're over 59 and a half and you're still working at an employer, generally you can actually roll that into a traditional IRA. If you already have a traditional or a Roth or a simple or a SEP or an inherited IRA, it's an easy rollover from paper to tangible assets.
Right.
See, that's what we help people do each and every day is move from paper to tangible assets because that makes sense. It adds safety. It's a private transaction and it's growing a lot. I mean, LT, a year ago, silver was $17.97 an ounce. Today it's $24. It's like, all right, it's up like $4 or $6.
Right.
In a matter of a year. On a $23, $22 investment. It's like, it's up almost 40% in the last year. That's incredible. It's like, Kirk, what has it done before that? Don't just take the last year. It's like, okay, let's look at where silver was in March of 2020. It was $11.91.
Okay.
Today it's 24. That's up over 100% over the last 3 years. That's incredible.
That right? is.
So, we could go back farther, but it doesn't make sense to go back farther when you're looking at a trend because trends tend to be more intermediate. There's right. policy changes, there's legislative action, there's all kinds of different things. So you never want to look too far back on a trend. I would say do the intermediate and short term, the last 3 years, last 1 year, silver is starting to accelerate, which is really exciting because this is why we allocate into it was to take advantage of times like this.
Yeah, it almost sounds like when you're talking about 100% increase in 3 years, almost the same lines where my son always talks to me about he gets involved in all the coins and stuff on digital. I guess it's digital currency, we'd call it in a sense. But he thinks that he's making big improvements there. But yet silver has been around for ages,
yeah.
gold. And so to me, look at that. You could have bought, you know, silver, what, for maybe $200, it'd be at $400 today. And then here you go. You just done a huge increase. And so, of course, that helps on the IRA stuff. So when we invest our IRA in silver, then that tells me it's just going to continue to grow over the years. And then when I turn 59, 60, 61, and say, okay, that's, I don't want to cash in on this bad boy. It's going to be a huge, huge increase compared to what most folks might have their IRAs in when it comes to just real money, right? I mean, just paper money, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And so, I mean, there's numerous reasons why people invest in anything. It's usually they want protection. They want safety. They want to preserve and protect their hard-earned assets from erosion or from stupid government policy, right? Well, in a normal world, if you want high return, you have to settle for high risk, right?
Right.
It's just normal. If you want low risk, you settle for low return. This is one of those amazing times in history. And I just think it's like a kiss from God, actually. It's like, all right, we can actually use the wisdom, intuition that God gives all of us, that creativity. And silver, it, to me, is the safest asset in the world because of the supply chain disruptions, the low inventory, the high demand. Economics 101 says that's when prices go up. So right. Safety-wise, because of that, it's used as a manufacturing metal and it's in very short supply. Safest asset in the world. Also happens to be, at this point, the fastest growing asset. Show me a world where you can have the safest asset also be the fastest growing. It never really happens, but yet it's happening. So we get to take advantage of that. That's what's exciting.
Yeah, that, I mean, I could just hear it in your voice. And there's a lot of folks that need positive news, and that's definitely one of them right there. I mean, we've got so much coming at us. I was going to show this real quick. We had the EU. I think I showed it to you earlier. These guys created the CBDC there, and so I'm feeling bad for them on the other side of the pond there. But Liz Churchill said, we were called conspiracy theorists for suggesting that the central bank digital currency was being implemented. Below is a video of the EU celebrating CBDCs being implemented to create their digital enslavement prison. Now, this is, to me, when I go through and I read about all this, of course, we had the... we had, what is it, Christine Lagarde also sharing with everyone that you're going to go to prison if you spend more than 1,000 euros in cash, and you can take your risk. I mean, so they're throwing fear on over there. There's a lot of folks saying, you know, there's no such thing as enslavement prison, CBDC, and blah, blah, blah. But we're seeing it play out in real time. And I'm just wondering what you have to say about all that.
Well, I think what's better than what I have to say is, let's hear her say it. Can you play that video?
Oh, you want to see it? Sure.
Yeah, let's play Christine. I think it's only a minute long, but you got to hear this. It's wild.
Yeah, here we go.
You're introducing the electronic euro, as I know.
Yeah.
So yeah. How can switching to an electronic currency help?
Now we have in Europe this threshold above 1,000 euros, you cannot pay cash. If you do, you are on the gray market. So you take your risk. You get caught, you are fined, or you go in jail. But, you know, the digital euro is going to have a limited amount of control. There will be control. You're right. You're completely right. Mm-hmm. We are considering whether for very small amounts, you know, anything that is around 300, 400 euros, we could have a mechanism where there is zero control. But that could be dangerous. The terrorist attacks on France back 10 years ago were entirely financed by those very small anonymous credit cards that you can recharge in total anonymity.
Terrorist attacks. That's why. That's why we need to keep them on the low charging.
I mean, seriously, LT, I don't believe a word that she says, right? When she said... if you spend more than what they're trying to do is eliminate cash. You can't have a private transaction in cash basically go parallel with central bank digital currency, which is all digital and trackable and Big Brother and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling. So they want to demonize cash so much so that if you spend more than 1,000 euros at a time, you could put in jail. It's like, what? So then when she says, oh, there's just going to be limited controls, limited. So I don't believe that for a second, because limited would mean there's a lot of transactions that aren't monitored. No, they're going to monitor every single transaction that you make. To me, that's not limited control. That's full control. And if they don't like what you're buying or selling, they can cut you off. So don't mince words, Christina Lagarde, that you are saying there's going to be full control because you're monitoring every single transaction.
Yeah, well, we're going into just some strange times. I'm glad that this is being exposed. I'm glad that many are waking up to all of this. And it's just great to have you and your team supporting everyone out there. And it's just continuing to stay busy, especially heading into just a strange season that we've have playing out in front of us. I mean, we've got so much going on the world stage, politically, talking about elections and more. It's just mind-boggling and hard to keep up with. And I'm just glad that at the end of the day that we have a place that we can go to get our support. And we just appreciate you guys. Again, remember, you can go below this video, andweknow.com/gold. And Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team will be there ready to support you and answer any questions that you may have. Any closing remarks before we go?
No, I know that we talked about kind of some dark stuff today. Yeah. I mean, we kind of did. It's like, no retail sales are, they're going to be way down. We've got banks laying off 10% of their workforce, big banks. Yep. Christina Lagarde saying you go to jail if you spend more than 1,000 euros at a time. It's like, oh, it's dark. But don't let that consume you. Don't be gripped and paralyzed with fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He did not. He right. gave us a spirit of wisdom and discernment and control and creativity, right? So this is where we have solutions. This is how, and I know if people could see your face, they would know you're smiling because you can hear your smile, right? It's like, we have a solution. This is why we can have a smile on our faces, because we have a solution. And that is, get out of the digital world, get out of these paper assets, go into tangible assets that can help maintain your freedom and also are performing really, really well. Literally, safest asset in the world that's also the fastest growing. You can't ask for much more. That will put a smile on your face. Just give us a call.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Looking forward to another update next week. Appreciate your time.
You bet. We'll see you.